You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
Good morning. I praise the Lord that I have a chance to speak to you here in Australia, in Melbourne. I've never dreamt about visiting Australia. I've never been thinking about preaching to the different people in the world, but the Lord gave me this chance to minister to you. But I want to express that I am not the one who is going to minister, but the Holy Spirit will minister to you. Amen. And then, first of all, Tang had been introducing me and my family. And I want to add some more about our family. When I was 16 years old, I came down from our state to attend the engineering college in Yangon. And that was the time when we have the Sikh Centennial, the 150th anniversary of Christianity in our country. And when I read the chronicles of the Baptist churches in Burma, I learned that even though the Burmese people were the first to be evangelized, in that report, it is written that there were only 6,000 Burmese Christians in the whole country. And that made me sad. So I was thinking then and there, how come they are the first to be evangelized? How come they are the least converted tribe in a country? And since then, the Lord put the burden that I have to minister to. Not to the Chins, not to the Karens, not to the Kachins, but especially to the Burmese people. And that was my vision and my burden since I was a young person. But I started my occupation as an engineer in the Timber Corporation. And while serving the country as an engineer, the Lord gave me the chance to start a church. At the same time when I was working in the secular world, I started the church by the grace of God in 1992, where there was no Christians at all in that part of the city. There are some churches in the city, Monya, but in that part of the city, no Christians. So, by the grace of God, we started the church. And I have five children of my own. The eldest daughter was an engineer, also teaching in the engineering college, but she quit her job and joined our ministry as the youth pastor now. She has two children, one boy and one girl. And then my second daughter earned a Master of Business Administration. And she was serving the Lord together with us. She was teaching in the Bible school in Mandalay for 4 years, then joined us in the church. And now she has been working in Singapore as a manager and accountant at the same time, assistant pastor to our church in Singapore, the Hallelujah International Church in Singapore. And the third child is a son, and he is also an engineer, electrical engineer, working in Singapore. But the Lord asked him to start a church there. So he started the church with six people 3 years ago. By the grace of God, the Lord blessed them. He's the senior pastor, and his elder sister is the associate pastor. And the church grows by the grace of God very fast. Now the attendance is about 200 persons every Sunday. And they have 7 cell groups during the weekdays. And also, the fourth child is a daughter, and she's serving the Lord together with us in the church full-time, taking the children's ministry and the cell group ministry. And the youngest is Sangpi. You have heard him just singing, testifying about the goodness of God. He has been blessed by the Lord. He has been to 12 countries, I think, to Dubai and some other places. And I praise the Lord for my kids, my children. They are very precious to me and also to the Lord. Praise the Lord. And my wife also was ordained by the Assemblies of God in our country. And all the 7 of us are serving the Lord wherever the Lord puts us. Glory be to God. Amen. I am not here to share about and to testify and to tell about my family. I am here to speak about the goodness of God. Pastor Graham, thank you very much for inviting us to be a part of this ministry today. It's a rare chance because I am also a pastor. And for pastors, it's very difficult to give the pulpit to other pastors, especially when you don't know about him. It's very hard. But I believe it's Lord's guidance that you gave us this chance. Thank you. God bless you. And as Tang also told us, and Pastor Graham told us just a few minutes ago, there were persecutions in the countries and all over the world. I want to say that the persecutions in our country is not comparable to the persecutions in Indonesia, in other, especially the Islamic countries. We are blessed by the Lord. We are covered by the Lord, and we are still doing good by the grace of God. And if I am going to share about the persecutions in our lives, it's nothing compared to what Jesus has suffered. So I don't want to tell anything about that. To God be the glory. My message today is, I gave the topic, personal encounter with the resurrected Jesus. Personal encounter with the living Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. We are Christians. I was a Christian since I was born. I was the third generation Christian. But to become a Christian, we need to encounter him personally, not second hand or third hand, but we need to encounter him and know that he is alive. Amen. There are many Christians who believe in Jesus, but they're not sure about our Lord's resurrection. And so many people are not sure about Jesus, the resurrected Christ. Let's look at the Bible verses. Acts chapter 1, verses 21 to 22. Acts chapter 1, verses 21 to 22. It's about the apostles. So now we must choose a replacement for Judas from among the men who were with us the entire time we are traveling with the Lord Jesus. From the time he was baptized by John until the day he was taken from us. Whoever is chosen will join us as a witness of Jesus' resurrection. Whoever is chosen will join us as a witness of Jesus' resurrection. This means the main task, the main job the apostles are intended to do is to witness that Jesus was resurrected. To tell the people around that Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. That's the task of the disciples, the 11 disciples, and all the believers during that time. In Acts 1, verse 8, you can read, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Our job is to tell all the people around us Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Savior. And Jesus is alive. But to share about this, we need to know personally that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Savior. And Jesus is still alive. We cannot borrow other people's experiences. We must have first-hand experience in our lives. So, as Christians, we need to share to those who don't know about Jesus that he is alive and still in control. But Jesus already knew that we cannot do it with ourselves. So he promised that the Holy Spirit will come to you. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will have power to share that Jesus is alive. We need to have power. Mere human thinking, mere human experience will not be effective to other people. In my experience, when I shared to the non-Christians about Jesus through this Bible, they asked me, who wrote this Bible? Are you sure about the authors of the Bible? Maybe somebody wrote it and gave it to you as a Bible. And proving Jesus is alive and Jesus is able to save us. Jesus is the only one who is saving us from death and hell. Quoting this Bible, they don't accept the Bible. So we need personal encounter and personal experiences with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the power of the Holy Spirit, that they will accept, oh yes, the Jesus you shared about is actually alive. You can quote this. And the Islamic people will quote their Quran. And the Buddhists also, they have their Bible, their writings about Buddha. So we're in conflict because our references are different. So we need to have personal encounter with the risen Lord. And only then we can be effective witnesses to the unbelievers. Praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. So that when we read on in the book of Acts, we can see in the second chapter that on Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, Peter, very coward before, stood up because he was filled with the Holy Spirit and challenged the people who themselves killed Jesus 1 week, 1 month before. He's so brave. He challenged and he accused that you are wrong. You killed Jesus of Nazareth. You gave him to the Romans and you killed him on the cross. You're wrong. He's brave enough and powerful to share about the risen God. In Acts chapter 2, verse 23, we can see but God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. Verse 24. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. He was boldly testifying to to those who killed him, practically killing Jesus 1 month before. He was telling them, you are wrong. You are killing Jesus, who is blameless, who has no sin. You killed him. You are wrong. It is the prearranged flow of the Lord that you nailed him on the cross. But death cannot hold him. And he was raised by the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 32, he boldly say that God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Hallelujah. When we share to the world that Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is the only Savior of the world, and he is alive, we must know that he is alive personally. And we are witnesses to his resurrection, he said. I want to share one word in Burmese. Witness was used in our country, in Burmese, that day. That day means death. Death. If you witness to the court and you are asked to witness in the court, that means in Burmese, I am speaking what I know. And if even you kill me, I will still say that. That's the meaning of witness in our Burmese language. Very strong. Very strong. Peter, in front of those who killed Jesus, he can be killed also by the crowd who killed his Lord 1 month ago. But he is not afraid anymore because he knows that Jesus is alive personally. And he said, I am a witness to his resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the important thing is, have you had a personal encounter with Jesus? Have you any proof that Jesus is alive in your life? In your experience? Have you experienced that Jesus is alive? And also Paul, in Philippians 3:10-11, I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Philippians 3:10-11. I want to share. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. Even he chose death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Paul knows that even if he died, he will be resurrected. So he wants to taste the persecution that our Lord Jesus experienced, because he believed that he will also be raised again by the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. The enemy, Satan, has a big task. His job is to belittle Jesus, to belittle his resurrection, and to cancel his resurrection. So, in the Gospel of Matthew, let's look to Matthew 28, verse 11 to 15. As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened. They see what had happened. And meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They bribed the disciples. They bribed the guards. They bribed the guards. They told the soldiers, you must say, Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you, so you won't be in trouble. So the guards accepted the bribe and said that they were told to say. It's a very foolish thing for a guard to testify that the thing, the body of Christ that he is appointed to guard, was stolen by his disciples while we were sleeping. That means they can see while they were sleeping still. Can you believe it? A person who is asleep cannot see anything. Sure? But they are bravely telling about the disciples stealing the body of Christ during the time they were asleep. Fasting, they were stationed there, put there to guard the body. They have no right to sleep. And then they cannot see during their sleeping. So it's very clear that they were lying. But Satan's always the liar. Satan is always the deceiver. So he tried to deceive, and he tried to cover up that Jesus is not alive. But Satan, the enemy, is always late, because that time the disciples, Mary, and other people have seen him risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. They have seen him alive. So they cannot cover up. They cannot tell the lie that Jesus is not alive. Because he is really alive. He's really risen. And the important thing for Christians, us, is to know that our Lord Jesus, the one who saved us, the one we believed in, is still alive and still in control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul said also that he wants to experience the resurrection from death. Acts 1. Let's go back to Acts 1, verse 1 to 3. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. And in verse 3, during the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Jesus wants his disciple, he wanted his disciple to know and to believe that he's alive. So he appeared to them for 40 days here and there, and then in front of many people, he proved that he's alive. Hallelujah. That's the resurrected Jesus Christ. He wants also to prove that he's alive also to you. Not only to the disciples, that they might be effective witnesses for him to the world. But he wants us all to know and to experience that our Lord Jesus is alive. If Jesus were not resurrected, there is no salvation. There is no gospel. There is no nothing. But when the Lord raised him up, and when he is alive, our lives are meaningful. And our future, we can be assured that we have our heavenly home to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes I'm thinking, as I was a Christian, as I just told you, since I was born, a third generation Christian, I automatically know that I am a Christian. I don't know if Jesus accepted me or not. I don't know if my name is listed in the book of life in heaven, but I proclaim that I am a Christian. But the time came when I have personal encounter with the Lord. I was a very good Christian. I never drink. I never smoke. I never do bad things that I knew. I attended Sunday school. I attended church. I am a very good Christian. And some of my friends, they were Christians also. When we were in the college, they were drinking, smoking, and they don't want to go to the schools, the churches. I was thinking that, oh, they must go to hell because they are drinking, because they are smoking. They were bad people. I will go to heaven because I'm a good boy. That was what I was thinking. But the time came when I learned from the Holy Bible. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. When I was thinking about that, I was thinking, am I really going to heaven? Am I really going to be with the Lord when I die? on what did I rely? And this thought came to me. No one can come to the Father but by me. But I'm trying to go to the Father because I'm not smoking, because I'm not drinking, because I'm always going to the church, because I am always attending the Sunday schools, because I'm always reading the Bible. And that's against the word the Lord Jesus told us. Not by any other thing, but by me, you'll be able to go to the Father. That makes me change my mindset. That enlightened me. And I received the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And that time, since then, I have many experiences that the Lord is alive and He's with me in my whole life. In Matthew 28, verse 20b, the last word Jesus spoke to His disciples. And be sure of this. Jesus wants us to be sure about this thing. And be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. He wants us to be assured that He is with us wherever we go, whatever we do. Jesus is with us. That's very encouraging. That's very strong proof that we are not alone. We are not alone. Everywhere you go, there might be somebody you know, there might be somebody you rely on, but that person can help you to only a certain limit. But with Jesus, nothing is impossible. With Jesus, everything is possible. Because He's the authority. He's our King. He's the sovereign Lord. He's able to do anything. And if you have Jesus with you, you're in safe hands. Hallelujah. You can rely on Him any time of the day, anywhere in the world. He's ready to help us. He's ready to protect you. He's ready to provide for you. He's ready to supply what you need. That's what the Apostle Paul said. My Lord shall supply all your needs. Not some of your needs, but all your needs according to His riches in heaven. Hallelujah. Our Lord is a rich Lord. Our Father in heaven is the one who owns everything that you can see or not. It's His own. So we are very encouraged and very safe to be going together with Jesus wherever we go. Even though we cannot, even when the time, you cannot know that He is with you. He is always with you. Because He promised to be with us till the end of the age. And now we are still in this age. The age is not ending. So the word we can rely on is Jesus is with me. Always protecting me. Always providing for me. Always teaching me. Guiding me. All of my lives. So, brothers and sisters. Have you tasted the living Jesus in your life? Have you any experience that Jesus is able to do? That Jesus is always loving you? Those who love you and those whom you love, the love might be stopped. They will stop loving you, but Jesus is always loving us. And He's always ready to help us in times of need. In times of need. I want to share. I have many experiences, as I've told you, to share the gospel to the non-Christians. We cannot quote from the Bible because they are not believing in the Bible. They accept this as only as a book. They told us, you don't even know the authors. Even though we tell them, it's Paul, it's Luke, it's John. That's what you tell us. I don't believe, they said. But to prove them that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is the Son of God, and Jesus is still alive, we have to share to them first-hand experiences. I have many experiences in my work as a secular engineer where the Lord gave me wisdom, where the Lord gave me the wish out when I am in trouble. To share one, as a mechanical engineer, I was working in the sawmill, timber factory, sawmill. And we have one big band saw imported from Germany. And I was in charge of repairing and maintaining this machine. But every now and then, even 2-3 times in a day, the band saw broke. And the band saw were very expensive to buy. So if it was broken again and broken again and broken, we cannot repair it anymore because too many joints will not do anything. I see that I am in trouble. So after working hours, I went back to the factory and I spoke to this bandsaw. Really? For the unbelievers, I might be a foolish person. But to me, I'm doing the right thing. So I spoke to the bandsaw. Hey, bandsaw, you are created by the Lord. Even before you become iron, you are created by the Lord underground. You are meant to be blessing to me, but you are giving me trouble. So you must tell me what problem is in you. I was holding the bandsaw and I was commanding him, no, you must tell me what problem you have. Because if you are not telling me, I am in trouble. I must be kicked out of my job. And then I looked at this bandsaw very carefully. And on the driving wheel, I saw a little part taken away by the broken bandsaw. That makes the balancing out. So when I saw that, oh, praise the Lord, I know the answer. So I put out that wheel, about 6 feet in diameter, very big, and I put a ring around it and made machining, and then put it again. And everything works together for good. Hallelujah. Even what you think is not alive are made and created by the Lord. And we have the authority to speak to them. And they'll be a blessing to us. They are created by the Lord. Everything you can see was created by the Lord for your blessings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's one of my experiences. And the other experience I want to share is what Sister Tang just shared a little. In the year 1995, in 1st March, we were having a midweek service in one of the army military barrack of one Christian lady's house. We were praising and singing, and there were about 50 people of us worshiping the Lord. When we finished the praise and worship, I stood up and I start to read the Bible. That time I heard somebody shouting outside. But I don't care. I want to share the Bible. So the message. So I read the Bible. And this person climbed up 3 steps to the corridor of the house. And shout at us. And then I looked. He was wearing only his longi. Without shirt. When he was shouting, I told him, oh, we are worshiping the Lord. Do not disturb. I don't like that. And he pulled out one knife, this long. The blade was about 3 inches wide, I think. Very sharp. And he pulled out this knife. And I stood in the door. And he stood from outside, and we were very close. This close, I think. I stood here, and he stood there. And all of a sudden, he put the knife this way, to my right side. But by the grace of God, I don't know what happened. The knife doesn't touch me. And he fell backward. And my wife stood up. What happened? Oh, he's a drunkard. He's drunk. Now he's asleep. Never mind. We continue our worship, I said. Then I read the Bible and start to share the word. Then he just stood up again. And this time, he stepped to my left side of the chest. Very close. If the Lord permits, if the Lord were not protecting me, the knife will go through to the back. Very sharp. I know it was very sharp because before climbing up the steps, he cut one of the seats of the bicycles made with leather, and it was cut like this. But this time also he fell backward. And then he stood up again. And we have hot discussions. All the people, the young people, move forward so that they might frighten him and go back, let him go back. But he was not afraid. He was throwing his knife this way. And all the young people, they were afraid also. And he stepped into the house. And all the people, the congregation, all of them ran away except me. I thought I was loved by my people, but they all deserted me. Even my wife. They ran, all of them, out. And we were together in the sitting room, the place where we worship. We were together alone. This time he was not holding the knife this way. He was holding the knife this way. And like a karate man, he said, "Ah!" I was not afraid. Amazing. "Ah!" And he fell backward again. The third time. Hallelujah. Amen. Then my people, they were peeping from the windows outside. Even Sang Pi was about 12 years old then. He was very peculiar. And he saw everything happening. And then my people said, "You ran into the room, one of the bedrooms." And I followed the instruction and I went into the bedroom. And there were 3-4 persons from our members. And this side, about 3-4 members of our members from the church. There were 2 rooms, bedrooms, and 4 people here, 4 people, 3 people there. And I joined this group and I said, "Bolt the door." And I cannot see the bolt. No bolt. So we have to push the door. That time, he went to the other door and stuck the door and it collapsed. So he ran into the room and cut everything he saw. 2 guitars broken. And the people ran out from the, jumped out from the windows and they were not hurt. And he came back. Sangpi told me later that he came back and tried to stuck the door that I was in. That time it was falling back again by the grace of God. And the host, as it was in a military barrack, the host informed those in authority, and 5 soldiers came for a rescue there. They know this person. The name was Su Min. Su Min. They know this person. So they bring one automatic rifle, and the gunman stood outside the window because they were afraid that he might took their gun away from them. And 4 of them jumped over him. One took the knife and then they tied him hand and foot. They said, Pastor, you can come out now. We are safe." When I come out, one of the military men stumping him by the butt of the rifle. And I said, stop it, stop it. You might kill him. He was only drunk. No, never. In the army, you must not disturb anybody who is worshiping, whether you are Christian or Buddhist or Muslim. No law. So he's a fool to do this. Then I said, let me pray for him. And I prayed for him. When I see they are going to bring him back to the lockup, to the military lockup in the office, I saw his foot were also tied and his hands were tied. So how come they cannot bring him to the office? So I told them, untie the feet. They said, no, we know this person. No, you cannot bring him to the office. So you have to untie his feet. And the men said, if you said so, we'll untie him. And they are untying him. All of a sudden, when they untied him, he kicked them and two of them fell backward. So they are very angry again. They tried to tie him up and they carry him, putting poles from here to between the legs. And they were carrying him like a pig. And he was still shouting, oh, my son, they arrested me. I have to go to the military quarters. They are arresting me. He was crying. I learned later that he even broke one of the timber of the lockup, very big timber, by kicking. And later I know that he was possessed by the devil. Anytime he was possessed by the devil, they cannot control him. But that night, one military person, out of the five, one came to me. And I can smell very strong alcohol from him. And he said, I'm a Karen. I am choosing whom to worship, Jesus Christ or Buddha. But I see myself that Jesus is alive. He put something out from his mouth. This is what the Buddhist monk gave me when I was in the front line. To keep it in my mouth whenever I face any trouble, and I'll be safe, said the monk. But you don't have anything I can see, and still you are safe. That means Jesus is alive. So I don't need this more. And he broke all the paper into pieces. And he said, from now on, I will worship Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a living testify. That is a living testimony that Jesus is alive. And that experience is very, very precious to me. Even though I have to walk in the valley of death, he's still able to protect me. He's still able to protect me. My Jesus is practical. My Jesus is alive and he's always with me. I know. So, brothers and sisters, we are here on this earth not to walk and eat and sleep and walk and eat and sleep, but we are supposed to be the witnesses of Jesus. So let's believe that Jesus is alive. And by the grace of Jesus, we are saved. And we carry the message that Jesus is alive. By the power of the Holy Spirit. And by our own experiences. God bless you all. Thank you.